Good morning, Cascadia. You're listening to your community radio station, KBOO, Portland, Oregon, 90.7 FM. Today is Thursday, January 22nd, 2009, and this is Air Cascadia, a whole half hour of headlines and commentary in less than 10 minutes. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
Uncle Sam wants you, if you're over 18. Attorney General John Kroger has agreed to investigate the Sam Adams sex and lies story.
Local environmental organizations are calling on the new Secretary of the Interior to rethink the proposed Gorge Casino.
And Israel is admitting journalists into Gaza. They just can't use the tunnels.
Portland area weather mostly cloudy with highs in the upper 40s and light wind. Tonight mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and temperatures in the 30s. And possible snow this weekend.
And first we go to regional headlines. Our guest this morning is Kevin Gorman, Executive Director of Friends of the Columbia River Gorge. Good morning, Kevin. Thanks so much for being with us.
Good morning.
So the incoming Secretary of the Interior, Ken Salazar, is about to inherit one of Oregon's most critical land use decisions. That, of course, is this proposed off-reservation casino in the Columbia River Gorge. This casino, too, it appears to be ever-expanding, like the universe.
Yeah, it has. Over the past 10 years that Oregonians have been faced with this, the size of the casino is, the proposals expanded about tenfold. And so Secretary Salazar, really, out of all the proposals around the country, this is the most environmentally challenging because it is smack dab in the middle of a federally protected conservation area. It's really an urban size, I mean, massive urban size casino in the heart of a very small town. And it's close to a number of salmon-bearing streams. And so it's loaded with fraught. And we are encouraging the Secretary to really end this and come up with a win-win solution that will give the Warm Springs tribe the two things they probably need most, which is tribal jobs and revenue. And that can happen through a non-reservation casino.
What concerns me here with the proposed casino is that I fear that it sets a dangerous precedent that other entities might use this as a wedge to get their idea of a destination resort sited in the gorge. What it looks like, very much like to me, is that the tribe is being used by corporate interest, destination resort promoters, to, as it were, establish a beachhead in the gorge that would serve to open the floodgates to more development. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, you know, from the very beginning, the idea of placing a casino off their reservation, which encompasses about 600,000 acres, was always a risky venture. You know, they're really, under the process they're trying to go through, there have only been three that have been approved around the country, and none of them have the land base that the Warm Springs have. So, and is in regards to a precedent, this is a really good point that people don't think about, because there's four treaty tribes in the gorge. The Warm Springs are one. Another one, Yakima, have nearly the identical circumstances as the Warm Springs. So every argument that the Warm Springs make of why they're unique and why they should be allowed to have a casino in the gorge, the Yakima tribe could make the very same argument. So, you know, you very likely, if one went in on the Oregon side, there's a good chance we might see a second effort on the Washington side.
And there goes real national treasure.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Kevin. That, of course, was Kevin Gorman, Executive Director of Friends of the Columbia River Gorge. Thank you so much for being with us this morning, Kevin.
Thanks, Chris.
Wind power developers are looking outside the Columbia Gorge for new sites. They're considering a windmill farm on the Warm Springs Indian Reservation, and they're leasing sites to test wind speeds on the southern coast. Coos County officials have approved a contract with a company from Chicago to put test towers inside Coos County Forest.
Life is a net, isn't it? In what could be the first of several such sales, the U.S. Bureau of Land Management spent more than $1 million to purchase 890 acres of private land within the boundaries of the Cascade-Siskiyou National Monument. The San Francisco-based Pacific Forest Trust has purchased almost 5,000 acres, mostly from timber companies, in hopes that the BLM will eventually have the money to buy the land and add it to the monument for conservation. I'm guessing it'll end up back with the timber companies, but we'll see how that plays out.
With the new administration, federal regulators promised a second look at a recent decision to drop gray wolves from the endangered list. Interior Department said it was withdrawing a rule announced last week changing the wolf status in both regions. The rule never formally took effect.
Well, in the midst of the struggling economy, Oregon lawmakers are preparing to hash out the specifics of the first piece of a proposed statewide stimulus package. A committee met last night to review a list of possible projects from 11 state agencies in each of Oregon's 36 counties and to set criteria for determining which will be addressed at first. I think first we should get rid of the committees and just go ahead and do the projects.
Yeah. After admitting he lied to cover up an affair with a young man, the gay mayor of a major city with a reputation for liberal politics is about to find out how tolerant his constituents really are. Portland Mayor Sam Adams admitted this week he lied to cover up his relationship with Beau Breedlove because a potential mayoral candidate had spread rumors that Adams had sex with a minor. Adams says he lied because he was afraid voters wouldn't believe that the man had turned 18 before they had sex.
Pretty soon, nobody's going to be squeaky clean enough to run for any elected office at all in this country. I think that even right now, as we speak, people are probably lying and having sex, or perhaps both at the same time right now. And still, the world continues to turn. The sun will probably rise tomorrow morning. Portland Police Chief Rosie Size proposes to consolidate the Bureau's 5 precincts into 3 by eliminating North and Southeast precincts in a major restructuring that will help the department meet a 5.11% spending cut for next year.
An Idaho soldier convicted of killing an unarmed Iraqi, then planting a rifle on the dead man's body, was not pardoned by President George Bush during his final hours in office. U.S. Army sniper Evan Vela is serving 10 years in prison following his conviction last February. Idaho Senator Mike Crapo and Representative Mike Simpson, both Republicans, said they were disappointed.
Well, let's find out whether Bush ever winds up pardoned for his war crimes. That'll be a good one. Carolyn Kennedy has withdrawn from consideration for the Senate seat in New York, being vacated by Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton. This is a rampant speculation. There is rampant speculation as to her reasons for doing so. According to the New York Post, Kennedy withdrew her name after learning that she wouldn't be picked. But Kennedy herself claims that her reason for demurring was because of her uncle's health.
President Obama's nominee as ambassador to the UN, Susan Rice, won approval yesterday from the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Now the full Senate can vote on her nomination. She would become the first African-American woman to hold the job and would enjoy cabinet rank, meaning she would report directly to Obama.
I hope we don't see another Condoleezza Rice on the horizon, but then how could there ever be another Condoleezza Rice? Spencer Raymond is back with us this morning with more D.C. Dirt. Greetings, Spencer.
Hi, Chris.
Well, so there have been a flurry of cabinet appointments, and some have been embraced by legislators, some not so much. Eric Holder's appointments being held up. Of course, Hillary Clinton was a shoo-in, but then we have some really serious problems around the world. Afghanistan, I would, in my estimation, would be number one. What's your view on Hillary Clinton's approach to diplomacy in Central Asia and in the Middle East?
Well, what we have to remember is that she is only one aspect of really three key players for the war on terror, for, you know, diplomacy in that part of the world. She's Secretary of State. She is the chief diplomat on a negotiating platform. She handles foreign diplomacy. She talks to foreign leaders. Obama, on the other hand, he's in charge. He makes he calls the decisions from the top and delegates the authority down to Hillary as Secretary of State and Robert Gates as Defense Secretary. So when we talk about Afghanistan, especially when we have to remember how has Obama changed, or how will he change this war on terror in the Middle East? He's going to bring it away from Iraq, and he's going to bring it back into Afghanistan as it was in 2001 when the U.S. originally went in October of 2001, and bring the focus of this war back to that country. So it's going to be a combination of Defense Department military roles and diplomacy coming from the State Department. That diplomacy is going to be Hillary Clinton's job. And we talked a lot about this in the transition period last year. Is what kind of diplomat can Hillary be? What kind of diplomat will she be? How will she be able to interact with international leaders like this? I mean, are we going to seriously expect from her a diplomatic envoy to Kabul, Afghanistan, to talk with the leaders there? Is she going to go talk with the Taliban? How are they going to negotiate with the United States on a diplomacy front as opposed to a more Defense Department front? So there's kind of two jostling sides of this, and it's a little bit confusing, but it's important to remember there's the war side, there's the Defense Department side with military tactics, and then there's diplomacy from the State Department side.
Thank you so much, Spencer. That, of course, was KBOO's Spencer Raymond. Mr. E.C. Dirt, thank you so much for joining us this morning, Spencer.
The Israeli government announced today that it will allow foreign journalists to enter Gaza. Here's the catch. Only journalists with official papers from the Israeli government will be allowed in, and they have to sign a waiver of liability form.
You know, it occurs to me, Liam, apropos of chatting with Spencer Raymond, that perhaps the first order of business ought to be to completely drop that phrase, war on terror.
Yeah.
Hundreds of workers toiled in southern Gaza today to repair dozens of tunnels dug under tents or fake greenhouses while smugglers brought in food and fuel just days after Israel ended a barrage of bombs and missiles aimed at cutting off the supply route of every possible necessity of life coming in from Egypt. The renewed, I'd rather call it actually export-import. I don't like that term, smuggling. Underscored how difficult it could be for the Israeli military to meet one of the key goals of its three-week offensive, which was, of course, crushing the Palestinian spirit of resistance.
And the Israeli military came close to acknowledging its use of white phosphorus munitions during the war in Gaza. But they continued to insist they did not breach international law. As fresh evidence emerged of Gazan civilians being burned by phosphorus, Avital Leibovich, the army spokeswoman, said its use was, quote, legal according to international law. All the munitions we were using were legal, like the French, American, and British armies. We used the munitions according to international law, unquote.
On what planet, I wonder?
This has been Headlines and Commentary from Air Cascadia for Thursday, January 22, 2009. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Engineering is Emily Young. The KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Chris Andre. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM. Your support and your support only keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members, and don't forget that we have another great opportunity to listen to some terrific locally produced programming and become a member of KBOO, coming up with our winter membership drive.
Coming up next, Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. They'll have an aftermath of the invasion of Gaza and some poets' responses.
Thank you so much for listening and have a good day.